The Office of the Coroner for West Cork has confirmed that Ian Bailey's death has been certified as being from natural causes and no inquest will take place. Ian Bailey, who died yesterday, was the chief suspect in the 1996 murder of Sophie Toscan de Plantier in Skull in Cork and was arrested twice by Gardaí investigating the death, but no charges were ever brought against him. He was convicted of the murder in his absence by a French court in 2020. Earlier, Ms. Toscan de Plantier's uncle, Jean-Pierre Gazot, told Maureen Ireland that the cold case investigation must continue because it's possible that new evidence or testimony may be found. Irish Independent political correspondent Senan Maloney was one of the first reporters to engage with Ian Bailey following the murder and the first to interview him after his initial arrest in 1997. Senan joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Senan, and welcome to the programme. Now, the details of the killing of Sophie Toscan de Plantier, and you recount some of them in the article you've written in the paper today, are pretty disturbing, and people might want to bear that in mind. But tell us how you first came to meet Ian Bailey. He was a stringer, and he was actually your point of contact in Skull at the in the aftermath of the murder.
That's right, and we met him in Skull on a slope. Myself and a photographer sent down at Christmas to cover this murder, and he was an extraordinary figure. He was black and gaunt against the sky, and very dishevelled. And I made a remark to my photographer who was driving, saying, "I know, you know, West Cork is bohemian, but this is ridiculous." In any case, I got in the back of this van, and he poured himself into the passenger seat, and then we drove to the crime scene. And it's a very, very difficult place to find, but he guided us there, and he gave me the best fill or infill about the details of this case, about lights going on and off, about the state of the body, the dress, the boots that were on, and so on. I'd never had anything like it before or since, but his behaviour thereafter was very strange to me, because I expected him, once we'd stopped and were looking down to where the crime ribbons were flapping, I expected him to come down and to vouch for me to the Gardaí who were there and to tell them that I was all right and so on. But he refused to do so, and he hung back, and I didn't think anything of it. He subsequently asked me, because I was a crime correspondent, what my opinion was of the circumstances, and I told him, but really the scales didn't drop from my eyes until he was arrested, and then I realised he was a perfect model, if you like, for the perpetrator, who must have been, in my opinion, a local man, and it must have been unpremeditated because of the level of the violence that was used, and because the murder weapon turned out to be rocks and a concrete block that were just lying about to hand. Mm.
Now, of course, he was never tried for murder here, tried in his absence in France. But as far as the law here is concerned, he died an innocent man. But you had your suspicions from very early on.
Yes, I did. And as I say, not before his arrest, but once his arrest, it brought home to me how the crime signature was an exact identikit for the type of man Ian Bailey was, heavily powerful. And on subsequent investigation in England, from talking to people there, when we expected him to be charged imminently with murder, it turned out he had a very violent temper. He had been dismissed from various jobs, that he had an obsession with the murders of Fred and Rosemary West in Gloucester. He liked to go to Cromwell Street, which is the scene of that house of horrors. And that he had had he left under a cloud because he had a very stormy and acrimonious relationship with his first wife, Sarah Limbrick. Mm. And so he had been on the pig's back, if you like, in England, but then ended up in a lowly fish-gutting job in Ireland. Mm. And it was all extremely peculiar.
I suppose none of which means that he carried out the murder. But we heard earlier that the family are hoping that the cold case review can continue. So putting back on your crime correspondent hat, Senan, do you think we'll ever get answers to who killed Sophie Toscan de Plantier?
Yeah, I think I'm writing tomorrow that we have a very good chance now, because an American man who's pioneered a vacuum device for sucking particles out of porous rocks has in the past fortnight been on to the cold case investigation. He's offering to come over here to Ireland. They welcome his involvement. We may get a very late result on this. As you say, it's better, the old adage is that it's better that 99 guilty go free than one person be wrongly jailed. You mentioned the inquest. That's not going to happen in relation to Ian Bailey. The inquest in Sophie was adjourned because of the Garda investigation in April 1997. And one day, perhaps, it may be recommenced.
Right. Senan Maloney from the Irish Independent, thanks very much for talking to us.